You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mottis.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mottis from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Today's episode of the show, I'm going to talk about Gary Harris, the next guy on the list for end-of-season evaluations. And I think one of the more interesting guys to evaluate because this was a really different year for him, I think, in a lot of ways. He made a leap. His profile changed quite a bit. So I think there's a lot to get into. In the first section, I'm going to be doing the same thing for all of these players. I'll get to everybody eventually. In the first section, I want to talk about the successes this year that Gary Harris had. In the second section of the show, I want to talk about the failures or areas he regressed or shortcomings or however you want to put it. And then in the third section, I want to talk about things he can improve on this summer and come back as a better player and more importantly, how he can improve things that the Nuggets need him to improve. So to start things off, just talking about Gary Harris in the season, I think one of the first things that I would talk about with Gary's improvement is I think he became a better star player. And what I mean by that, I'm not even talking about basketball stuff here, but watching Gary's kind of interesting because I showed up his rookie season. was first credentialed towards the end of his rookie season. So I kind of got to see him as a 19, 20-year-old, and then I've got to see him every step of the way. One of the things I think fans don't realize is he made a big improvement this year, in my opinion, in just sort of understanding his role and responsibility as a leader of this team. And one example of this is guys hate talking to the media. I mean, all other than like Will Barton loves talking to the media. I think Jokic likes talking to the media in like after a win where he gets to just be goofy and we all laugh at his jokes. Like he just loves that. Outside of that, most players hate talking to the media. Jamal Murray could score 40 points, and he's going to have the scowl on his face as soon as the media walks over to him because he just hates it so much, and that's most players. But Gary, I thought, this season really accepted the responsibility of, one, talking to the media, but just the responsibility of being the face of a team. And I think Jokic is next up for this, by the way. I think in a lot of ways Jokic also made the same leap in that he kind of understands after every game, no matter how he played, the media wants to hear from him. Gary and Millsap and Jokic and Jamal are the four guys that it's very rare we don't talk to at least two of them after a game. Those are kind of your go-tos. And like if Trey Lyles has a big game, you know, we'll talk to him. But Gary, I think, is a guy that's kind of accepted this and understands and has grown to learn, like, look, this is just part of the job. This is part of being a pro athlete. And it sounds like a small thing, but it's actually not. Because in my opinion, it points to a larger thing about just understanding the responsibilities that come with being a famous athlete and with being the guy on a team. And Gary Harris, very much that. I thought another thing he improved on this year, he got better as a playmaker and more comfortable just having the ball in his hands. If you think about Gary, the second season, he was just a finisher. He dunks, transition, and maybe shoots the kick out three. He slowly added more and more to his game. And I think in many ways, this season represents sort of a transition year for Gary Harris. It's a growth year. There's some growing pains with some of that growth, but he went from being just a finisher to mostly a finisher with some playmaking who can kind of carry a team when they need a bucket and some of these different things. So that was big, although it should be noted that his assist per 36 minutes and assist per 100 possessions actually went down. So I think he did more, and I'm going to get into some of this stuff later on in the weaknesses, but I think he improved as sort of a guy that can be more dynamic, more multifaceted, but there are some growing pains with that, especially with the efficiency side of the game. I think Gary also improved as a sort of a clutch player, and this goes along with my first point. I think Gary, and all players have to do this, all players kind of have to go from the point of being like, I'm just here not to get wedgied by the upperclassmen, right? I mean, I know it's the NBA. I know this is an exaggeration, but they have to go from being like, no, the vets handle all these types of things, to nope, the team's relying on me. And as evidence of this for Gary, not just off of the court but on, I thought he became an incredible clutch player. We know that he had the biggest clutch shot of his career against the Thunder, the game winner, which is maybe the highest highlight of the season for the Nuggets. But there was a lot of moments, not just game winners, but a lot of moments where I felt like the team was looking around to see who had the most confidence in those moments. And I think Gary Harris, a lot of different times, was that guy for the Nuggets. So that's a big improvement for him. Statistically speaking, he made a big leap in terms of scoring off of handoffs, according to Synergy. He had a pretty big jump there, and a lot of that, again, was coming off of not just being able to pull up. Usually his handoffs were either turn the corner and go to the rim or catch the ball and shoot. He had a very good in-between game this year that I think he added, where he could kind of take one dribble, read the defense, and then go from there. Oftentimes a pull-up jumper at the free throw line, but he got very good at that. His handle improved, and I think, again, kind of in my theory about this being an in-between years, his handle is better than his use for his handle at the moment. And I think next year, as you just get more comfortable with it, you kind of get better at picking your spots. But I think his handle improved. He just didn't always know when to use that tool, use that weapon in his bag. So again, I suspect next year he continues to work on that and his handle becomes even more impactful. It translates even more into the game. He had a 10% increase in pull-up effective field goal percentage this year, and that was split pretty evenly between two-point pull-up jumpers and three-point pull-up jumpers. So he actually shot a lot more, and I'm going to talk about that later, a lot more pull-up jumpers, but I think he got more confident with it. And again, it's a confluence between him being confident in his shot, being confident in his handle, and just being confident in his role on the team as a guy. The Nuggets aren't just get points as they come to you, but sometimes create points. And so he did a good job of that. I think he went from like a 37% effective field goal percentage to 47% while increasing the volume, which is encouraging. And I think he looked like a legitimate third option on a team. He carried the team in certain games. I know there were certain people in the Denver media that called him the best player on the team early on. I've talked about how I think that's that's crazy, but certainly the most consistent player, and I think a very he's always been steady Gary and a reliable guy, and I think he's added so much and improved his game so much and continues to improve that it used to be that I would say, you know, if he's your fourth or fifth starter, that's awesome. I think he's a legitimate third wheel of a big three. Offensively speaking, I think he's a guy that just plays off of people so well, and you know, he's just so good at so many different things on the offensive end now that it's not just a have to have people set things up for him. He scored 30 plus points three times this season. It's wild to think before this year he had never done that before. He had two 36 points games and a 32 point game. He had never scored 30 points in the NBA before until this season, and he had three of them, which I don't know if Gary's a high-volume type scorer. I think he'll have nights where he's a high-volume scorer, but I just don't think that is in his DNA to be a guy that you count on consistently for those types of nights. But it's nice to know that he's getting better and better at having those types of moments where his shot's just feeling so good and he can create those points. So I look for next season, if you try to predict how many 30-point games will he have next year, I wouldn't be surprised if he had, you know, 8, 9, 10 of those building off of the three he had this year. He also scored in single figures, I think, eight times this season, and six of those were before December 12th, so basically the first 2 months of the season. After that, he only had two single-figure games, and those were both against Houston. So again, we talk about steady Gary. He played, I think, 67 games or something like that, and in all but eight of them, he got into double figures, so he was between that, like, basically 10 to 30 range. And again, just kind of a reliable guy that does his job every single night. Random stat, he had 8 block shots in the month of November and 7 the rest of the year. I don't know what changed or if that's just, it's such a slow number, you know, just 15 block shots all year that it's probably just noise. But it's weird that he had half or over half of them in that first month of the season. So I don't know if there was a change or what happened. I'm guessing since it coincides sort of with Paul Millsap going down, that probably had something to do with the difference in aggressiveness that the guards were able to play with. A less random stat. That first stat, it could be nothing, man. It could just be noise. Less random stat. He had 103 assists in the months of December and January. That's a 28-game sample size. He had 103 assists. He had just 61 in all other games, which is 39 games. So he played more games outside of those 2 months and had almost half the assists. So you think back to the month of December and January and the style, and I think this is the time of the season when people were talking about Gary Harris as the team's best – not people, a small number of people talking about Gary as the best player on the team and all of this stuff. And I think, again, I mentioned this when I talked about Jokic yesterday, whereas if Scottie Pippen looks like the best player on your team for a long period of time, you probably are doing something wrong. And I think that was the case for the Nuggets by and large in those months, that Gary really shined with a bigger role, and I think that's really encouraging and will pay off. But I think that the way he was asked to be used in those months and the style of play the Nuggets went to, those were two of the least successful months that the Nuggets had on the season. Into some weaknesses for Gary, and you know, a lot of his weaknesses, he stretched his wings a bit this year, and there's always growing pains with that. He was so efficient of a player. His efficiency went down across the board, just raw number. We're just getting into the data here, not necessarily into into the specifics here, but you know, his 3-point percentage was down by about 2%, his 2-point percentage by about 1.5%, finishing at the rim, getting, you know, some of the player profile stuff is a little bit different. So I think that stuff, you know, putting the ball on the floor a little bit more, he's kind of just testing the waters and seeing where he fits in. I think next year he's going to build off of these things so much and be an even better player. But the biggest thing that I have, the biggest note I have for Gary Harris is just how much his shot profile changed. And this goes back to Jokic. If you look at Jokic and Harris and the two-man game they have when the team is playing Jokic ball, there's a very distinct shot profile that those two cultivated in the month of February this year through the last 4 months of the season last year. And I still maintain that it was largely gone this year. And here's some stats to back up my perspective on it and why I think there's concern for Nuggets fans about how much this team's offensive profile changed. Field goal attempts from 0 to 3 feet, he shot 38% of his shots at the rim last season. Just 25% this year. That's a decrease of 13%, which is massive. You think about Gary Harris, the two things you think about are that three-point shot, kick-out three-point shot in particular, catch-and-shoot three-point shot or spot-ups, and then getting to the rim off of those curl cuts, backdoor cuts, handoffs to the rim. It's great finisher, some power dunks, some reverse layups, all those things. His shot profile was so different because he just got to the rim so much less, and I think so much of that has to do with the style, the offensive stylistic difference that the Nuggets went with this year, and also with their inability to space the court properly with two bigs on the court. They played almost exclusively this year with two bigs on the court, whether it was Plumlee-Jokic, Plumlee-Millsap, or Millsap-Jokic. They played a lot of minutes like that, and I just don't think they spaced the court. First of all, I think those combinations can all work great, and I still think the Nuggets can and should have a top three offense in the NBA and can have some really dynamic offenses, but they haven't quite put those pieces together yet this year, and I think a lot of that has to do with spacing. So he's taking 13% fewer shots at the rim this year than last, and those shots get distributed almost perfectly everywhere else on the court except for the three-point line. His three-point attempt rate went up by about 3%, so not... And a lot of those, again, off of the dribble, not your best types of three-point shots, but actually worst types of three-point shots. But you talk about the 3 to 10 feet, there was an increase. 10 to 16 feet, there was an increase. And then 16 feet long, basically long mid-range shots went up. So he had an increase in every other aspect of his shots, and it all came at the sacrifice of the rim. To me, this is a big red flag. And it's, again, it's not a red flag on Gary, because I think Gary became a much, much better player. But if this is like a symptom of the Nuggets not getting the most out of their team. And the Nuggets had a good offensive rating this year, 109.6, I think, according to NBA.com. Last season on a whole, it was 110. if you look at the Nuggets from December 15th on last year, they're number one offense in the league around 114. So you're looking at about 5 points per 100 possessions worse when you talk about that Jokic ball stretch that the Nuggets had. And again, by the way, if you look at the month of February this year, those numbers again become consistent. This is what's so crazy about the Nuggets is not only does it pass the eye test when they're playing the style of basketball that I think best suits their personnel, but the numbers bear it out as well, and their offense goes to another level. So their offense was very good the rest of this year anyway, despite all of these things, but I still think it was leaving something on the table. And when you talk about how thin the margins are in the NBA, you really want to maximize every aspect of it. He also shot the fewest assisted field goal attempts since his rookie season. So he took the most off the dribble attempts, but also just the most one-on-one trying to create shots. And again, I think Gary Harris can become a very reliable option here, but his game is so much better as a cutter and as a slasher. His cuts were down. He had the fewest cuts that he had had in his career. So you talk about how much of a cutter he was and those types of shots being his bread and butter. You cut those basically in half, according to Synergy, from 12.5% to 5.9% of his shots, or from 1.7 to 1 per game. That's just a huge, huge difference. And again, I think it points to the team not being able to figure out how to space the court properly and them not having as many open looks on those cuts. He shot 45% on catch and shoot threes last year, which is an insane amount, you know, really, really, really good. Down to just 40% this year, but he did take a higher volume. That number might just be noise. I think he's still a very reliable catch and shoot 3-point shooter. It'd be interesting to kind of break down into the very specific types of shots he was getting, and maybe I would find a trend and a difference of the type of kickouts he was getting. But he doubled his pull-up 3-point field goal attempts from less than one a game to 1.5 a game this year, almost exactly a doubling. And that's kind of interesting. Pull-up 3-pointers, they're an important part of the game. Maybe that's something he can continue to add to his game and become even more dynamic, but I never really thought of him as that type of player. I think Jamal Murray can become that type of player. He's just a little bit more of a ball-in-his-hand type guy. Maybe Gary Harris can too, but this year he ramped up the number of attempts, and I'm not sure that's necessarily a great thing. And he more than doubled his 2-point field goal attempts per pull-up 2-point field goal attempts from 1.1 to 2.5. And these are a lot of what I'm talking about. These are actually, I think, good shots for him to have in his arsenal. And this is that coming off the pick and roll or coming off the handoff, and your defense goes over the top, so you take one dribble inside, pull up at the free throw line. He took a lot more, almost, you know, more than double the amount that he did last year, and he did it with efficiency. So I think that's good. I hope it continues to be just a wrinkle in his game because, of course, pull-up mid-range free throw line jumpers are among the least efficient shots in basketball, but they are an important counter to everything else that the Nuggets do. So I think Gary, his negatives are positives in terms of, like, he is able to do things that I don't think he was as able to do last season. But the trend of doing those things more than the things that he is good at, I think, is a concern. And not a concern for him specifically, but more a concern for the environment for which he is being thrown into on the team. So lastly, wrapping up with things I think he can work on this offseason, three-point shooting is always going to be, for every three-point shooter, you're always going to have this continuing to work on your three-point shot. He is a career 37% three-point shooter. If you throw out his rookie season where he shot 20%, he's somewhere right around a 39% three-point shooter. And he shot 39.6% this year on 6 attempts per game. Last year he shot 42%, so he's down about 2%, but he upped the volume. I think for him, the difference between a 39% three-point shooter and a 42, 43, 44% three-point shooter is going to be huge. I think being able to get him, again, when you talk about the shots he was getting, the looks he was getting, I think were worse this year than they were last year. I think it's encouraging to see that he's still a 40% three-point shooter. Nonetheless, we see this with Golden State. Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, just a level above Jamal Murray and Gary Harris in terms of, if you were going to kick out to each of those guys, who do you have more confidence in knocking them down? Gary Harris, I think you can continue to work on and hone that three-point shot so that he's a reliable 42% every single year. His handle, I mentioned this before, the seeds are there. I don't think he quite knows how to use it 100% just yet, but another summer of him working on his handle. It's actually the thing I'm most excited about with Gary Harris. He was a guy that I never thought had a handle because I don't think he did 2 years ago. This year he showed off. There were some flashes where you just go, wow, like he really crossed a guy over, really, really had a nice move there. If he makes another leap like that with his handle this offseason, now you're starting to talk about a guy who end of game situations, you don't have to run an ISO for a pick and roll with a dynamic ball handler and a player of Jokic's caliber. That just really opens things up. And when you throw Jamal Murray also improving his handle this offseason, it can just go a long way. So I think the most tangible thing I think we'll look at next season when Gary Harris takes the court for the first time is just how comfortable he can become with one more year of working on his handle and not just working on the mechanics of his handle, but the confidence and picking his spot of when to use it. Pick and roll passing is another one, and I'm going to talk about this with all the guards because all of them can improve on it. I think Will Barton may be the best pick and roll passer on the team, and then you look at Jamal Murray probably. Gary Harris has added this to his game, but he just needs to continue working on it. If I was his personal trainer this summer, I would probably spend half of the time working on pick and roll situation type things, how to score, how to snake screens, how to keep defenders in jail, the timing on the pass, how to open up angles for different types of passes, how to stutter and get to the rim. All of these things he's made progress on, but he's still not a guy that I think you feel too confident as a pick and roll playmaker. He still makes relatively basic reads at a high level and complicated reads at a low level. So continuing to work on that, I think, will go a really long way for him. Post-entry passing, surprisingly bad at this, and it's a weird skill. I don't know if players work on this in the offseason, but it's something, if I were him, I would work on quite a bit because the Nuggets can get so much more out of their offense if they're just better at getting the ball to Jokic. And Jokic has to work on this, too. I should have put this in his section. He needs to work on holding people off longer and being an easier target for post-entry passes, not getting shoved out. But Gary Harris can help him by really working on this skill and getting better at getting the ball inside. And again, continued leadership. I mentioned how he made a leap this last year. Looking at the landscape for this Nuggets roster, they really do need some vocal, just I think a little bit more of a vocal presence. And Gary Harris, to me, is a guy that I think everybody on the roster respects. I've never heard anybody say a bad thing about Gary. He seems like a very agreeable personality, hard worker, brings it every night, consistent, but he's quiet. And I think just continuing to learn to step outside of his comfort zone and be the leader that this team needs, or one of the leaders that this team needs, will go a long way. And I think he's right on pace. I mean, he's right on track when you look at where he started and where he is now. He's made such leaps in that department that I wouldn't be surprised if he came back even more polished there. But Gary, this is such an important, it continues to be important off seasons for him. I think he's done a majority of his growing. I say this every year and he gets better than I even anticipate. So maybe his ceiling is even much higher than what we've already seen. I hope so. I hope that's the case because he's one of my favorite players to root for. He's just such a fun player. But he's still being molded into the player that I think he is going to be for most of his career. He's mostly molded, but I think those you can still kind of, he still can go a bunch of different ways. And I really hope that Malone and the coaching staff molds him more into what I think is his best attributes, which are some of this off-ball finishing, and find ways to get the offense back into a way that highlights what he's so great at. Because I think some of the things that he's developed in this last season are great complementary pieces, but they've become the meat. It's almost like the side dish has become the main course and the main course has become the side dish. I'd like to see that reversed. And again, that's not a knock on Gary. That's more of a knock on sort of the environment in which he finds himself in. But a great player. This was a huge year for him. I think he leapt onto the national stage in a lot of ways this year, and rightfully so. For one, he signed the big contract, and there were a lot of people out there that thought, is he worth that kind of money? I think he proved this year that not only is he worth that kind of money, but he might actually reach some of these bonus marks that were built into his contract. Things like making an all-team, first, second, third all-team NBA or whatever, all-star game. These things are are, I think, more likely to happen than they were a year ago. A year ago, I said, nah, there's no way. The West is too loaded, this or that. I think it's still going to be really tough for him to become an All-NBA type player. But it's within the realm of possibility the way that he continues to improve each year, and it's fun. I also think defensively he made some leaps this year, but it's really hard to evaluate any of the players on the Nuggets defense because of how bad the defense is collectively. So improvements on that end of the court, I think, will also go a long way for his candidacy for being an All-NBA type player. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. We'll be back with a weekend summit. Haven't had one of those for a couple weeks, but a weekend summit coming to you tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.